Let's stand and worship the Lord together.
Your love is amazing, steady and unchanging. Your love is a mountain, permitting by thee. Your love is a mystery, how you gently lift me. When I am surrounded, your love carries me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Your love makes me sing, hallelujah.
To all, Lord of heaven and earth.
Experience, just the theme a lot was about how we tell ourselves a lot of lies, and we tell ourselves a lot of I'm not good enough and I can't do this, and this song just has been going through my head ever since the convention, really, about just I am who God says that I am. I'm not who the world says I am. I'm not who those lies in my head say that I am. I am a child of God. Yes, I am. So I hope that this is a song that blesses you like it's blessed me, and this is just a great song.
Yes, I am.
Can say that you may be seated, that in my Father's house there's a place for me. That's pretty exciting stuff. I'm glad that you're able to acknowledge that. And if you haven't acknowledged it yet, before you do, certainly do that. I want to give you an update on Diane. This last bout of chemo treatments really knocked the socks off of her, which was intended to do, and that lowered her blood count down, so her immune system is down. And it's taken her a little bit to rebound from that, and she's still rebounding. They're in hopes that she can come home this week, maybe. And the reason for that is so that she can get out of the hospital, get her mind wrapped around of being away from the hospital, but then bring her back in so that they can do some radiation treatments so that that can prepare the way for the stem cell replacements. So that's kind of ahead of us. In your bulletins, you have her room number, her address. They moved her into room number 2 now. It's no longer 16. It's room number 2 because it's pressurized. I don't know how it can be pressurized when you go in and out of the doors, but so be it. So keep praying. I really appreciate your support in allowing me to go up there. And It wouldn't appear to be a big deal, but when you're up there for her in that room and there wasn't anybody, it can be real discouraging. So I don't have to say anything, but just my presence there is an encouragement to her and even probably a sense of healing to that degree. And then the cards and the texts and the emails and just everything, it's all been great. So continue to pray for her. How can we pray for you, Linda?
My granddaughter Danielle went in to have her baby last night.
Danielle, getting close.
There's a lot of stuff going on in Haiti right now, and all of our missionaries have been
Pray for Haiti. There's a lot of discord over there, and missionaries are told to get out.
Thank you, everybody who's been praying for my uncle, but he did pass away this morning. I praise God that he's a child of God, that he's in his presence, but definitely pray for my aunt and cousin and just the whole family, Lord, as we grieve this loss.
Jane. All the way to Missouri, okay.
And James has bad knees, and he's been sick for a while. He's going to the doctor this week. And Curtis, they found a cyst on the back of his leg. He's going to the doctor this week to see about that. So, move right to the boys to school.
All righty. Tanya. Doris Tubbs. Her name, his name is Joe.
Trooper Doogie.
Trooper Doogie is doing better.
He's hanging in there.
I'd like to pray for my daughter, Casey, who you all know. She's very close to giving birth to our granddaughter, or within weeks. And they also had a praise as well, a blessing bestowed upon them. They were given a house by Keenan's grandmother. They'll be moving up to the other side of Newfield by the end of the next week, starting a new church, a new life, a new school for Tristan, so if we could lift them up.
Casey and Keenan. Jim. So you gotta find a new place to live. Pray for Jim.
I
got a box in my garage.
he's got
a better plan than a box, that's for sure. Let's sing the prayer chorus. Yes, Miss Lori. Absolutely. So remember, Beth, in your prayers and the adjustments to the medications. Let's sing the prayer chorus.
My Father.
Father, you are the Almighty God of heaven and earth. In the book of Psalms, it tells us, where do we find our help? Our help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. It comes from the hills. And Lord, as we bow our heads to you this morning, we're so very thankful that we do indeed have a God who knows each and every one of us individually. You are not far removed from us. And you know where we are at in life, what we're going through. And so we take these few moments today to be able to, as a church, lift up these various requests unto you. And we certainly lift up Diane and ask that your presence would make yourself very well known in that room number 2 today, and that you will put a smile on her face, that you will help these blood counts to get to where they want them to be at, and that you will prepare the donor over there in Germany, and that the time framing will be your perfect work, and that her body would be able to receive it, and these stem cells will be able to cure her up. So we just commit her unto you and thank you that our faith is anchored on the Word of God, anchored in the Lord Jesus, and that we have the hope of you. And Lord, we certainly lift up Pastor Zach's family and his uncle that has gone home to be with you. And what a wonderful thing it is to, when you're a child of God, born into his family, that indeed we can look forward to be able to seeing loved ones again. But in the midst of this absence, we would pray that you would wrap your arms around each family member, fill them with your goodness and with your presence and with your hope, and help them to be able to stay the course. We lift up the folks over in Haiti to you, and the discord that is over there as well as over here. But Father, would you help them and be able to ease the tensions that are there. And we lift up Danielle to you and Rachel to you and Jim to you. Lord, he needs a home. He needs an apartment. He needs a place to live. And Lord, you said you will supply all of our needs according to your riches and glory. And you take care of the birds of the air. And Lord, take care of Jim. Help him to be able to find that place that would be suitable unto him. And Lord, we certainly lift up Doris Tubbs to you. And what a trooper she is. I'm still reminded when she had cancer and she said it's just a bump in the road. And Lord, she's going through another bump now with her son. And we would ask that you would strengthen this lady with power on high and that you would help her to be able to put one foot in front of the other. And we pray for Joe, God, that you would give him good days. Thank you for Trooper Doogie, Lord, and continue to work mightily in his life as well. And we lift up Casey to you and Danielle, who's having this baby. And Lord, we thank you for life. Thank you for women choosing to give birth to life. And Lord, some of them don't make that decisions. And Lord, we just pray that you would work mightily in their hearts and lives, and just realize that if they cannot take care of the baby themselves, there are certainly adoption people who would be willing to do it. And so, Lord, we just thank you for Casey and Danielle and help the babies to be able to mature and be delivered well. And, Lord, we certainly lift up Beth to you, and we're thankful that she's here with us. And, Lord, Russ and Lori and even Jake, and we ask for this family that as these medications get adjusted, that the seizures will dissipate, and that you would again help them to be able, moment by moment, day by day, to see improvement. Thank you that our hope is in you. We get different diagnoses. We have different struggles that we face. We have different circumstances that come into our life, but we can realize that we are victors in you and that we can overcome. We can be more than conquerors, the word tells us. And Lord, I thank you for the life of our church, the various ministries, and you see the needs that we have, and I would pray that you would just put it on people's hearts to step up, to be able to help out, and where they can. And Lord, again, Thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercies, new every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, one more time we say thank you for your goodness to us. Thank you that we can partner with you in our tithes, our offerings, how you've blessed us. I pray that you would bless those who could give and those who can't do it today and had a desire to do so. In Jesus' name, amen.
Playing that, but that was the same thing Leona played this morning.
I like the way she plays it better than the way I love that honky tonk jazz.
That's why we record the second service. All right. I think now more than ever is a time when we need to be standing up. Stand up for Jesus. Let's stand and sing. Stand up for Jesus.
Stand up for Jesus, the strong.
Genesis chapter 3, verses 6 through 13 is where we're going to find our text this morning. We're not going to read it just yet, but in a few minutes. Six common spiritual delusions that really affect our lives we're going to get into. Father, help us with clarity of mind to be able to see your truth more clearly, how you want us to live, how you want us to be able to live for you. Thank you, God, that we can indeed allow you to work in us and through us. And Lord, the devil is as real as Jesus is and would want to blind our eyes and do some things that we might think is okay, seem okay, but isn't really drawing us closer to you. So help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can show that video. Paul Harvey, good day. Did you get the date on that? 1965, 50 years ago, If I Were the Devil. The delusions that we're going to be talking about was illustrated to some degree in this video. And thinking about the devil, the spiritual warfare pertaining to mankind, the devil will do anything that he possibly can so that you will spend an eternity with him. And if he can't keep you from becoming a believer, he will deceive you so that you'll choose alternatives, so that you aren't going to live that fulfilled life in Christ as He would have you to do it. He may even allow you to believe that you are a believer. Tell others that you're a believer. And so these six delusions that we're going to share is how they entrap people into thinking what they're doing is right, or they are believing that what they're doing will bring satisfaction and fulfillment to their life. You have a cheat sheet there if you'd like to take it out and write down these illusions and maybe just some of the scriptures to what we will be discussing. But this first illusion is thinking that pleasures, sinful or not, will give fullness of life. And the text this morning, chapter 3 in Genesis, is that account of Adam and Eve in the garden where she is deceived and eats of the fruit. We pick up in verse 6 that says, "When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good and for food and pleasing to the eye." So think about the pleasures of life pertaining to your life and the pleasantness of it, the gravity behind it. And for Eve, it was desirable for gaining wisdom. She took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of them both were open. They realized they were naked, so they sewed fig leaves together for coverings for themselves. And then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God. Whenever we're seeking sinful pleasures, you're constantly looking over your shoulder, wondering who's going to see you. Can you imagine? We're here in the valley. 1965, he talked about pornography. So let's just assume now you're out of state someplace, and nobody's going to see you go into that store, right? But you leave your cell phone on. And then on Facebook, a lot of times it says, so-and-so checked into. Imagine that popping up. How embarrassing that would be. Your sin has found you out. And they hid from God because they knew that they had done wrong. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" The man said, "The woman you put me here with, she gave me some of the fruit from the tree and I ate it." Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" What is this you have done? Think of yourself. What is this you have done? The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." And that's where we get the title of the message, the spiritual delusion. The serpent deceived me. He tricked me. And the devil is continuously walking around seeking whom he may deceive, devour, and destroy. And he doesn't come at us with a weapon of mass destruction. He comes with us with an apple, fruit that you desire. And just think of what that pleasure, that fruit might be in representation to your life. The Bible tells us that sin is pleasurable for a season. It is short-lived, and sin always leads us to destruction. And as we think about sin and the pleasure that is behind it, if it wasn't pleasurable, who would be disillusioned by it or attracted to it? Sin separates us from God, and sin has created a void in our heart, an emptiness. It's like we've lost who we are, our identity. And we try to fill that void with relationships, sexual pleasures, alcohol, maybe drugs, work or hobbies. You know, whatever it is. It doesn't have to be sinful. It can be good. But there's a yearning. I got to do something more. I'm lacking something. Entertainment could be there. Even church. Trying to fill that void with church, but still that yearning is there for more. Nothing is sufficient because we're trying to fill it with the wrong thing. So is the devil happy with you right now, with the way that you're trying to fill that void? filling your life with everything but Christ. Now, as we think about the devil and his tricks and his delusions that he has for us, Christ is a nightmare to that crafty illusionist known as a devil. And he knows that when you get Jesus, that void is going to be filled. You're going to be on the right track. No more searching for the things that have left you empty. Your identity is in Christ now. I have had that checked on me this weekend, my identity. I had needed wiper blades for my car. So I went to Advance Auto out there in Rochester, and I knew that they would put them on for you. So I went there, I purchased them. Skip waited on me. And I asked Skip, I said, would you put the wiper blades on for me? And this is what he said. He said, it'll cost you your man card. Kind of belittling, isn't it? Well, my response, which you could be proud of your pastor, because I bit my tongue, and I was going to say, well, I'm a woman today. That's my identity. Right? Isn't that socially being accepted? You can be who you want to be. So if I lost my man card, I didn't have it to lose anyway because I'm choosing to be a woman. I didn't say that. I didn't think of that. I did think of it. I just bit my tongue. Because I knew my identity was in Christ, and it didn't matter whether I knew how to change wipers or not. It doesn't matter if you're a good cook or not. Our identity is not in what we do. And a lot of times we're trying to fill that void with what we do to see this is who I am. And then he goes out and puts the wiper blade on. The passenger side went on real easy. Driver side gave him fits. And there's a little clip in there which I wouldn't have known to look for, and it was broken, so he took his jackknife out. He was a real man. He had a jackknife, and he fiddled with it. And I almost was going to say, what about your manhood? You can't even get it off. Nope, I didn't. I just let him do his thing. And I got in the wiper blades, and I left there, and I was still a man. So that was good news. But our identity is in Christ and not in the things that we do and the pleasures that we seek after. That void that can only be filled with Christ can fill that. The second common spiritual delusion is trusting in religion and being a good person for salvation. And I think for the devil, that delusion, that opportunity that he gives to us to be able to say, just go to church, just be a good person, you're good to get in to the kingdom. The Pharisees were operating underneath that condition. And Jesus is quick to be able to confront them. In Matthew, he says when he saw the Pharisees, the religious rulers of the day, the Sadducees, and that they were there to be baptizing, and he said to them, you brood of vipers, to the religious leaders of that day, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in repentance. So they weren't able to link up to their religion and saying, okay, I'm good to go. He was saying, Jesus saying about this keeping with repentance. And I'm sure that religion as a whole has sent many a people to an eternalist pit outside of Christ because they're just feeling good. They're going through the motions. They think that they're doing right, and many of them do. And religion offers people that warm, fuzzy feeling that they're doing okay. And that offers people a false security. When I was unsaved, I correlated church and God in the same breath. To me, there was one in the same because I didn't know any better. And I saw a lot of people living life that went to church the same way I did. So to me, it was a waste of time. Why do it? No matter. I wasn't going to waste my time in church with religion. And so that has helped a lot of people not have the eternal life that Christ offers. I read an article this past week. Next week, the United Methodist Church denomination is having a general conference, a big thing where they make big changes. This article was saying that they wanted to unify, not the church and coming around the gospel, but they wanted to unify society with their denomination. And so they were going to allow the society to influence what they taught, how they preached, what they accepted. And this article was saying it's going down a slippery slope, changing their discipline and their theology for the acceptance of society. That's not what it's about. It's about staying adhered to this Word of God and allowing us to be able to influence society. We need to certainly do a better job at that. And the devil must really smile when he looks at all the millions of people who think they're doing okay, and yet they're losing their soul over it. And in the world's eye, they're just doing the good thing, the right thing, the just thing. Raising a family to treat people right and respectful, that's a good thing. Earning an honest living, old Paul Harvey was talking about work. Earnest and honest living, and live by the golden rule. Treat others as you want to be treated. All of that is good. And a lot of people are living that way. And I would tell people when I talk to them and they bring that to my mind, is I'm doing this and this and this and this, I must be okay. And I ask them this simple question. I said, if that is okay, if that is the ticket that gets me to heaven and not to hell, if that's the ticket, why did Jesus have to die on the cross, shed his blood, and pay for the penalty of sin if all I have to do is be good? Go to church if I want to. So religion, being a good person, is just a delusion, and it works really great. And the third common spiritual delusion is praying using vain repetitions, thinking that it's powerful, connecting yourself with God. And Jesus tells us, when you pray, don't keep on babbling like pagans do, for they think that they are heard because of their many words and their flowery words. He says, don't be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him, and we certainly know that. He says, this is how you should pray, and this is where the Lord's Prayer is at. And I am in error, probably, because I have a mental block from where I have come from to repetitious prayers, to praying what's on your heart and being able to communicate to God to where this, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's a good prayer. That's a model prayer that teaches us, you know, the elements of prayer. But if you're just praying that over and over and over again, where is there power in that? Where is it when we say we approach the throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace? To me, when we're praying, we're talking to God Almighty, and I don't have to have a little prayer. And that's my problem, thinking that in a sense, because I've graduated from that. And if you pray that way, I hope that you too will graduate to where you just pray what's on your heart. As simple as that prayer is, they don't have to be flowery. I've heard some great prayers, sincere prayers, and they're using big words. And I'm thinking, man, I can't pray like that. And it's intimidating to be around a person who can really communicate and pray well. And boy, they're saying all the right things. It's like you want to hide, and you don't open up and pray yourself. And I was that way at one point, hiding. And the pastor called me out on it. And he said, Randy, pray what's on your heart and shut up. Simple as that. One word, a sentence, a paragraph, whatever it is, you pray what's on your heart with your prayer list. You pray. And I would encourage you to pray out loud so that you can hear yourself, because when you're hearing yourself and you're praying with somebody else, you're still hearing yourself. Close your eyes if it's helpful. And communicate to God. the repetitious of prayers. John chapter 17, write that verse chapter down, because that is the Lord praying for his disciples, and there's a section in there for us. And it's a prayer, it's not the Lord's prayer, but it really is the Lord's prayer, because it's not model, it's him lifting us up today in his own words from his heart. Because the devil certainly would fear the person who bends their knee, because we know there's power in prayer in Jesus' name. We can read that in the scriptures. And he trembles at the person who has the smallest amount of faith, probably, and is lifting that little bit of faith up to a great big faithful God to be able to accomplish what God wants to accomplish with us. And then the fourth spiritual delusion is self-confidence. Self-confidence, thinking you don't need God. You know, this is an illustration with Peter. Jesus told them, this very night you're going to fall away from me. You're going to go the other direction. And Peter replied, even if all fall away on account of you, I never will. Here Peter was. He was sincere. When he said that, I don't care if everybody falls away, I won't fall away. And we read later on where he did fall away. And the rooster crows three times and he is in denial of Jesus. One of the great dangers of being self-confident is that you think you can do it all on your own. I don't need God. I'm better off maybe without God. Our confidence has to come with Christ, not ourselves. With Jesus' help, we can be more and do more than what is expected than we can do by ourselves. Not being self-confident. Thinking about that word self-confident, prideful, a good illustration here. When you're self-confident, think of yourself as getting a big head. Right? When you have a big head, chances are you're going to fall over because it's out of balance. Self-confidence. I used to think that I'd never get a divorce. I used to think that I would never backslide. I used to think that I would never cheat on Diane. And I used to think that I would never hold a grudge against anybody. But when you squash self-confidence, I have come to the conclusion, except for the grace of God, there go I. And we should never say never. This will never happen to me. I've got my ducks in a row. I'm self-made. I don't need God. I can do it all on my own. And Proverbs, with that big head, says it all. It says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. And that word haughty means proud, arrogant, conceited, puffed up, overconfident, big head, go tumbling down. And how many self-confident people have ended up in hell because they weren't willing to submit themselves to God Almighty? I visited a man in the hospital a few years ago. His daughter wanted me to go see him. He was headed down his last days. So I did go, and I tried to talk to him spiritually. I told him about Jesus. And before I even got those words out practically, he said, I don't need it. It's good for you, but I don't need it. Okay. A few days later, he died. I don't know whether he ever accepted Christ or not, but without Christ, he's spending eternity in hell paying for his own sins that Jesus paid on the cross for his sins. But he needed to receive that gift and he refused to take it. And so for what Jesus did, now he has to pay all of eternity paying for his sin. And the old devil will be your best friend and say, you can do it on your own. Don't need God, don't need Jesus, don't need the church. Just do your own thing, be your own person. You do okay. I'm here to warn you, don't believe him. Don't believe him. And number five, trusting in riches for security. In Luke chapter 12, there's a parable that Jesus tells about a rich farmer, a certain man. He produced a good crop. In these four verses that it talks about this good crop that he got, 10 times the personal pronoun I or my shows up. I will tear down my barns. He says, I got so much grain, what am I going to do? I know what I'll do. I'm such a good farmer, I'm going to build bigger, build more, have great things. I'll be secure for life. And at the end of that parable, God says, you fool. This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. God doesn't have a problem with rich people. What he has a problem with is when we have an abundance and our security is in those things and not with God Almighty, because those things can either burn up, be flooded away, the stock market can crash, and he's left empty-handed. Our security is in Christ. I talked with a lady who was cleaning the rooms up at the hospital this past week. We met her back in August when we were up there. She's a believer. And in talking with her this past week, I said about all the rooms she has to clean, I said, boy, there's job security in that, isn't there? Just like that, she said, my security is in God. Isn't that a great way to have it? My security is in God. And that's the way it should be. We need to acknowledge even the breath. How did that farmer get all that grain? The sun came up. The rains came at the right time. All of that orchestrated a good crop, and God didn't get any of the credit for it. It was all me that did it. And there are a lot of people living like that. It's all me that did it. And God gets left out of the picture, and he certainly don't want to get left out of the picture. He holds all things together. And all of our wealth, all of our material possessions are from him. The Bible puts our security in perspective. What good is it for man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? And this last spiritual delusion is thinking that there is plenty of time for salvation. I got plenty of time for salvation. There are a whole bunch of verses that can talk about this. One of them that I picked out was in Acts. The Apostle Paul's talking to Felix and his wife, Drusilla. And in the process of talking to Felix, he got a little bored of the conversation about the gospel and Christ. And he says, that's enough for me. You may leave. When I find it more convenient, I will send for you. And how many people, as you're talking to them, say, I don't want to hear anymore. You know, when I'm older, come back another time. I don't have time. Jesus tells us in the book of James that our life is a vapor. It appears for a little while, and then it is gone. And in Psalm 139, Diane and I have gotten a lot of comfort from this verse this past year. He tells us, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me. We were born and we're going to die. They're ordained. Diane and I have talked about her dying. And with her days being ordained, as your days are ordained, we've come to the conclusion that leukemia may take her life, but it's not going to take her one day before her days were up. Dan Earl is here today. Been over a year now. He had a massive heart attack. Prayers were uplifted for him. He might have died. Probably thought he was going to die. He's here with us today because a year ago, his life was ordained to keep on living. And a heart attack wasn't going to stop it. If Diane's days are ordained to live further, leukemia is not going to take her life. Think about a loved one that you have, even your own life, being ordained, thinking that there's plenty of time for salvation. Maybe there is. Maybe not. Because we don't know. We don't know what tomorrow will bring. And that's why it's so urgent to be able to say in your own self, today is the day. Today I'm going to make this decision. You know, on a more, not spiritual matter, but a basic living matter, I wished I had listened to the people when I was 20 years old who told me to take out a retirement fund. Now I think I'm only 20 years old. Retirement is for old people. I don't need to take out anything now. I got a lot of years that I could do that with. Well, I wished I had listened to them back then instead of now. My brother had a bad pain in his side just recently, last week. Ended up in a New Jersey emergency room. He drives truck. And he had to get intravenous and was in the waiting room. And they put the little wristband when you check into the hospital. And he looked down at his wristband and it said Gary Stilson, 64 years of age. And he said, I looked around for that old man. I didn't see where he was at. He was once young and now he is older. Not guaranteed. We have plenty of time. And the devil would want you to think that you have plenty of time. That's a delusion. We don't have plenty of time. Our days are ordained. And most people don't see the urgency behind accepting Christ. There are no second chances after death. We have a lot of second chances while we're living. We mess up, we sin, we repent, we go on. God forgives us. Once our ticker stops ticking, bets are off. It's either saved or lost. If I were the devil, I'd keep using those six delusions. Why? Because they're working. I'd keep letting people go to churches, let them think that they're doing good. I wouldn't fear anybody who just said they would pray and didn't, or just thought that a repetitious prayer that they say over and over and over again would get them closer to God, and it really doesn't. And I would let that man or woman keep thinking that they can do it without God, and there are a lot of people that think that way. And if I were the devil, I'd bless them, make them comfortable, let them think that they have a lot of time. I'm here to warn you, don't get caught up in those delusions. Jesus is the way to eternal, abundant life now, in this world, and forever. It's Him. It's about Him. That is where our identity lies. Let us live our life confident in Him. Find our security in Him. Let us be content with who He has blessed us with. And let us be clear-minded and self-controlled as we travel down this thing called life, our faith journey. Clear-minded, not puffed up, clear-minded, self-controlled. Father, as we thank You for Your goodness in our lives, and Lord, listened to old Paul Harvey 50 years ago. It's worse now than it was then. And the devil is still at work in the hearts and lives of people. And I would pray for anybody here this morning. You might have been deceived in thinking you have plenty of time, that church isn't for you, God isn't for you, I can do it on my own, and the devil was happy with you. He'd want you to keep thinking that way. Christ would want you to repent of your sin and call upon Him and invite Jesus to be your Savior, your Master, your Lord, to find your identity in Him and not in some work or some hobby, but find your identity, your manhood, your womanhood in Christ. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Stand and close with verse 1 of faith is the victory, and we know that it's not just faith in anything, it's faith in Christ that is the victory.
Father, help us to increase our faith. Help us to live by your standards. Help us to not dilute the Word of God, but to adhere to it. Lord, I thank you for my church family, and I ask your blessing upon their life. Help them this week with the decisions that they have to make. And if it would be pleasing to you that one more time next Sunday, we could come through those red doors and worship you afresh. In Jesus' name. Amen.